Boom, welcome to Tag One Team Talks, the podcast and blog of Tag One Consulting. Today I'm talking with Randy Say, the maintainer of DDEV, who's also going to be doing a demo of some of the features and functionality in a little bit. DDEV is a very popular Docker-based PHP development environment, and it enables you to get up and running in minutes, even if you don't have any Docker skills. If you're developing code in PHP and you haven't heard of DDEV or don't know a lot about it, you're going to want to stick around and learn more and see how it works, because it's going to save you a ton of time. And for all of you DDEV users, we're going to be talking about some of the history and talk about the future of the project as well. I'm Michael Myers, the managing director of Tag One. Tag One and her teams are very active in contributing to open source projects and communities. In fact, almost all of our client work comes to us because of our contributions and reputations with projects like Drupal. So it's really important to us to support the ecosystems and the tools that we use and rely on. We're super proud to be a sponsor of the DDEV project. And I would encourage you to become a sponsor too, if you're not already, if you like DDEV and use it as a tool day to day. Every little bit helps and counts. Tag One builds large scale applications with Drupal, as well as many other technologies, for global 500s and leading organizations in every sector, including Google, the New York Times, the White House, the AFL-CIO, to name a few. If you need help with your large scale application, please email us at info@tagone.com. I'm really excited to have Randy on the show today. Randy, welcome to Tag One Team Talks, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. Tag One, such a fun bunch of people, and always enjoy talking about DDEV too, and enjoy talking about Tag One, and enjoy talking about your Tag One t-shirt, which the people listening.
So before we get started, I just wanted to share a story with you, because it really touched me. In the last few months alone, we've had 3 different DDEV users reach out to us via our contact form and thank us, not just thank, like profusely thank us for our support and sponsorship of DDEV. And I don't know if you're like telling these people to do so, but over the last 17 years, we've sponsored a lot of open source projects. I can't recall outreach like this before. I'm sure you know this, but I just wanted to say it. People are super passionate about DDEV. They love the work that you're doing. And it really, blew my mind to see that kind of outreach.
Well, we do all appreciate your sponsorship of DDEV, and it's a great community. We're working on it all together. So I'm glad that people are telling you about that. And we at DDEV really appreciate it. Thank you.
We were going to keep doing it anyway, but if that was a tactic to get us to keep doing it, it worked. I think it would be really helpful to step back a little bit and provide a little bit of history, some context for people. Can you give some insight into, when and why did DDEV come about and your involvement? How did you get involved?
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting thing. I went to work. I took a regular job with a company named Drud in like 2016 or something like that. And their goal was to make a Kubernetes-based hosting environment. And so I just, tried to understand all the things. And I love hosting and I love all the things about it, but I really didn't, that wasn't my thing. What they were doing wasn't my thing. I wasn't really into it, but they had as a piece of it, DDEV. They had an infant DDEV as a piece of it. And for 5 years, they let me work on DDEV. That kind of generosity is amazing. Like I say, I wasn't really all that thrilled about the other things they were doing, but they let me do DDEV. And it was a lovely thing. And of course, then they lost their funding. Some of your listeners will remember that. They lost their funding like many startups do, and they went away. And because it's a great thing to do, I just kept ongoing with DDEV and maintaining it. I'm old and money isn't the thing, and having something really valuable to do is the thing. And so I just carried on. And then one day, I don't know, a year and a half later or something like that, platform.sh comes in and says, well, we'd really like to sponsor DDEV, and can we give you a salary? And that worked out. And they've been doing that now for 2 years. As a matter of fact, I saw the anniversary. So for 2 years, they've been sponsoring DDEV at a very high and very appreciated level by paying me a salary, which is amazing. And more than that, it gives significant credibility to the project. When I was just flying along saying, well, I'll do it, you know, and we didn't have the financial resources, it wasn't as credible to people that DDEV would survive. I knew it would survive. I knew I was on it, but we wanted a long-term sustainable approach, and platform.sh stepping up was a real piece of that. So that's another critical part. But we have been just, it almost seems like everything we do is just moving along step by step, everything incremental. DDEV has been incrementally going for, is it 7 years now? Maybe it's coming up on 8. But yeah, that's the history. We just move along and find our way.
That's amazing. I'm really glad that Platform stepped in. They are a really great company to be associated with, and as you said, really drive some of the adoption. So can you give us a sense of who uses DDEV and what is the most common use case? Like what are people doing on a day-to-day basis with DDEV as a tool?
So DDEV is built and focused on local development. So people who our web developers already know this, but people who aren't might not know, you can't have two artists working on the same canvas at the same time. You know, things just get really messy and things don't work out. Developers used to do that. They used to work like on integration servers, and you'd have two people out there changing code at the same time, and it wouldn't be under source control and things like that. And we have at least moved on past that, and most developers of websites do their development on their own machine. And that used to be really hard to set up. It was like, I could do it because that's my background. I love Linux, and I love, you know, and I could always sling Nginx config and PHP config and make it work. But most people, that's not their focus. They know more about JavaScript or PHP or whatever it is, and they don't want to know how to configure Nginx and PHP and run it locally on their machine and fix it for different projects. So the whole idea is to be able to have your project, your website project, checked out on your machine and use it there and not have to think about that. And preferably for your team who might be using WSL2 or Linux or Mac or even traditional Windows, to be able to do it the same as you do. So everybody using the same thing, the same configuration, even though it's on different operating systems, different environments. DDEV is currently quite focused on PHP developers. So we'll take a look later, but we have special integrations for lots of different CMSs and frameworks. We've branched out to helping Python developers and Django, but we don't have a lot of takers there right now. But that's what DDEV is it's for local development of websites on any platform.
One of the individuals that reached out, I looked them up, and they're a Python developer. So, you know, they're definitely passionate about the folks that you have doing it. And I mean, it really is amazing, right? Like, I don't do much development anymore, unfortunately. And, you know, it's a lifesaver to be able to like spin something up and get going. Like, I don't have the skills to sling Nginx anymore, and, you know, or the time to dig into it. So it's a time saver, and that, you know, consistency. So you're not introducing problems that you need to solve later. You know, that's a big part of like the whole tool chain is, let's find things early and often and have consistency across our environments. So there's a big gap, you know, for the longest time in local development, you know, and people
would always say, well, it works on my machine. What's wrong with yours?
The developer catchphrase. So yeah.
One of the things that DDEV does, DDEV is built on top of Docker. So what is going on is there's little Linux machines in there, and those Linux machines look the same on any platform and any developer's machine. So your friend down the hall has the, if you've checked in your configuration, which is the normal thing, then your friend down the hall or down the world or across the world has the exact same little Linux machines running, whether it's on a Mac or Windows or ARM 64 or AMD 64, Intel or whatever. Those machines are the same, and that's why it can work. And so the Docker is an amazing technology, but it's usually pretty intimidating to people. The DDEV doesn't expose that much of what's going on with Docker. We say it's Docker-based, but we don't expect people to have to know anything about Docker. They just have to have a Docker provider installed.
Now, if you happen to be savvy in Docker, is there, you know, can you do more, or is it really just about abstracting, you know, the complexity to enable you to get to development and deployment?
Now, people that do want to add services, for example, can do that. We also have add-ons, so you don't even have to know that. But there's somebody in the DDEV Discord trying to create a brand new service the other day. Somebody in the Tag One Slack wanting to figure out how to use a RAM disk for mounting the database on, so that it's just sitting, you know, so that it doesn't have to be written to disk. So those are little complexities that people can do, all of those things, but the average person doesn't run up against that, at least at first. So with the add-on ecosystem and everything, we don't have that need to really know about Docker.
So why would you say people adopt DDEV over other solutions? Like, what makes it stand out?
I think the biggest thing is the great community means that it's really well maintained. So the community is very, very active and lets us know when things go wrong, and we're able to get to those things and figure it out. As you know, all the piece parts are changing all the time. So we've got new upstream components all the time. A new version of PHP comes out, a new requirement for a different database version changes, a new release of, you know, of Magento 2 comes out that changes how it works, and you have to change this and change that. And because the community is so great and so engaged in all of that, we're able to keep the maintenance happening on that. And of course, the community sponsoring two of us maintainers to be working on it all the time is a fantastic thing. But aside from it being predictable and maintained, a lot of people really, really like the performance, especially on Mac OS, which has always had a black mark on Docker with Docker Desktop and stuff like that. DDEV implemented a technology, an open source technology called Mutagen, which is used on Mac OS 2 or 3 years ago, with great, great help from the maintainer of Mutagen. And that has made a huge difference, so that performance locally is really exceptional. People love the performance of DDEV, how fast the DDEV instance comes up, but also how responsive the web browser is. Because it used to be that when you were running something locally on Docker, it was just like, go to a page and wait for it to load. And with Mutagen doing all the work under the cover there, it's really, really fast. It can be faster than a real hosting environment. It can be as fast as a Linux local development environment.
That's awesome, because speed really negates having it local, right? You might as well connect to a remote server to do in development like we did back in the day. It's critical. And, you know, we at Tag One certainly appreciate speed in general. I'm curious, the open source, you know, like the community, you said they're reaching out, they're sharing ideas, problems they run into. Are they, you know, going beyond that? Is, you know, is there a contribution from the community?
We have contributions and we're totally dependent on them. So the, you know, like the Typo3 and Drupal communities have always been there, but Craft CMS adopted DDEV a couple of years ago. And there's a number of other communities that make sure that things are kept up. So we had a great contribution. There was a major change in Magento 2 recently that needed some effort applied to it. And the community brought that in. We have a couple of hard hitters on Magento 2 that make sure that that's kept up to date. So people come into our DDEV Discord or into the GitHub issue queue or Stack Overflow, and they say, well, this is what's happening, this is what needs to happen, this is what's broken, this is, you know. So we've got all of, for quite a long time we had, yeah, you know, we have deep roots in the Drupal community, but for quite a long time we had a major contributor to Typo3 as a major contributor in DDEV, and he kept things shipshape, and Typo3 community still does. But anyway, we love that, and I think that's, to me, that's the fundamental thing that makes DDEV fly, is the community engagement and making it so that it's, you know, so that it's real, so that it works for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, between what I mentioned earlier with the users reaching out and saying thanks for the sponsorship, the companies like Platform making big sponsorship, the people using it, like, you know, from every angle, the community seems to have, you know, fallen in love with and want to support the platform. And I think that, you know, from my experience in open source, the community is the heart of the project, right? Is you know, what talks about the health of the project. And so it's really great to see. What about add-ons? Like, is that like another way that people can contribute, or is, you know?
Yeah, so DDEV has a whole add-on ecosystem, which has been maturing over the last couple of years. You used to have to, it's like if DDEV provides a web server and a database server, it'll do MariaDB or MySQL or PostgreSQL out of the box, no problem. All that stuff is built in, and you know, a bunch of things are built in there. But as far as like other things like Redis or Solr or Varnish or those things that people tend to want to add, those aren't built into DDEV. But there's a community technique for those to be placed in a GitHub repository in an add-on format. And it's really, really easy to create the add-on. And that add-on contains the Docker tidbits or whatever that you need. And then you can just add it with DDEV get. So you can just do a DDEV get DDEV/DDEV-Redis, and boom, it's installed and it's going. And so that's great. And we have official ones that have been promoted into the DDEV repository, but anybody can create their own on their own account. So they can basically take the template that's out there, the add-on template, and you just click a button and you build your own. And then when you put the DDEV get label on that, then it shows up in DDEV get -get --list --all. So there's quite an ecosystem of those, and it's probably outgrown some of the technology that we have right now. You find out about things on the command line with DDEV get -get --list. And one of the things that we talked about yesterday, we had our annual full-blown review, our advisory group. We have a DDEV advisory group from the community. And we had our annual review of the past year and plans for the next year meeting, a two-hour meeting yesterday. Had 16 or 20 people. It was great, great feedback. But one of the things to come out of that was that we probably need to grow up a little bit more and create an add-on registry, probably something on ddev.com that would show in a little more detail and with a little better access what those add-ons are, because there's a lot of them And some of them are experiments, you know, that might not have succeeded. Some of them have been promoted to fully official. A number of them are really well used, and we need to do better with that. Anyway, there's a whole add-on ecosystem. It's not hard. Creating one usually requires a little bit of Docker knowledge, Docker Compose knowledge, or maybe a lot, you know, for something that's really complicated. But they're straightforward. It's amazing how nice it is to build one. And then they just use GitHub queries to find them, which is pretty nice.
For teams that are working together, where everybody has their local DDEV, you know, an infrastructure change is made, you know, and rolled out, is there a way to propagate that back to everybody's local development line so that everything stays in sync and we don't end up back with, well, it worked on my machine?
Yeah, the strategy, the standard strategy is that you check in your .ddev directory. So the .ddev directory is in the top level of the project. And so normally on a team, like the project lead or somebody would check in the current approved configuration, or you'd make a, or somebody would make a PR on their project with a change to ddev. So let's say that you're upgrading from PHP 8.2 to 8.3. Somebody would make that change in the ddevconfig.yaml file. They would check it in. They'd make a PR on the project, and then that PR would get pulled, and everybody would have that same configuration.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to shift into a demo and show off some of the tool, maybe, you know, common use cases.
You bet. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen first, and I'm going to go over to the DDEV docs. Let's see if I can share properly. Always share. I can only share the whole desktop because otherwise I get confused anyway. So here I am. I am going to go to ddev.readthedocs.io. And this is where the DDEV docs are. And I'm just going to go to the CMS quick starts because that's where the usage information is. And it's quite easy. Can you see my screen? Okay.
Yeah, looks great.
Okay. So I'm just going to go to the CMS quick starts, and you see we have their quick starts for Backdrop, Craft CMS, Django, Drupal, Expression Engine, Ibexa, and Laravel, Magento, Moodle, Python, Flask, Shopware, Silverstripe, Statamic, if that's the right way you say it, and Typo3 and WordPress. So we have quick starts for all of those. I'm just going to take a look at Drupal. These are all very similar, and most of them are using, most of them are using composer strategies. And so the basic ideas of almost all of them are the same. But what we'll do is we'll do a Drupal one. And so I am going to just do these steps right here. So what I'm going to do is create a new directory, and then I'm going to use the ddev config command to tell it what the ddev configuration is. And then I'm going to start the project, and then I'm going to use a composer create, a ddev composer create, which is the same as what you may have used composer create dash project. Ddev composer create is just a slight variant on that because you can't use composer create project in a non-empty directory. So ddev composer lets you do that. So we're going to do a composer create on Drupal recommended project, then a composer required drush, and then we're going to install it, and then we'll just use it. And we'll just do that right quick. So I am going to switch over.
I love that you support Drupal 6 and 7.
Yeah. And they, you know, it works fine.
I mean, there's close to, you know, there's still over 500,000 Drupal 7 sites. It's not end of life yet. Hundreds of thousands of 6. But that's really great to see, you know, that you're providing this compatibility.
Well, remember that web developers don't work in a perfect world, and lots of them inherit sites that have been neglected for a long time and need to be resurrected or need to be upgraded, and you have to figure out how to run those somehow. So DDEV supports clear back to PHP 5.6, and with some specialized techniques, you can go even farther back than that. But yeah, I mean, Drupal 6, a lot of times people say, well, why don't we remove Drupal 6 and 7 because they're obsolete, or at least Drupal 6, right? And I said, no, because everybody has to be able to recreate these things. So let's see what I can do here. I just want to make sure I don't already have one of these. I'm going to CD I'm making a directory called My Drupal 10 Site. And now I'm going to do a DDEV config. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a DDEV config, and I'm just taking this straight out of the Drupal CMS Quick Start. If you can't see my screen, or you're listening to this on audio, I'm going to do a DDEV config --project-type=drupal10-docroot=web-create-docroot. And there I am. And I have now done a DDEV configuration. If I do an ls-la, we'll see that we have a DDEV directory now. So the DDEV directory contains the configuration. Now I'm going to do a DDEV start, which builds the containers and projects that I need and brings them up. So it's going to bring up Nginx by default, and it's got PHP FPM coming up behind that. And it's got, we're not doing anything special. But, and then we've got a router that takes the host name, My Drupal 10 Site, and sends it to the right project. So,
well, it figures it right in your browser. I mean, this is like, I mean, literally you just cut and paste and you're up and running. This is crazy.
That's exactly right. So now I'm going to do a DDEV Composer create Drupal recommended project, and it's going to put Drupal 10.2.4 in there right away. There we have got the Composer install is almost done. We're just waiting for it to copy the last bit in, and then we'll put Drush in, because what is Drupal without Drush anyway? And we're stopping and starting to make sure that all the things point to the right things inside everything. So, and now I'm going to do a DDEV Composer require in a half a second here. DDEV Composer require Drush. And now Drush is installed inside there. And I'll just do the DDEV Drush SI-Y demo umami --account pass equals admin, so that I can know how to log in. And Drush will install that for us. And then we'll have a working Drupal system as soon as that's done. So this is basically all that it takes. In the quick start, it would say that I should do a Drush, DDEV Drush ULI now. I don't usually do that, but we'll do it here. And that shows us the link. You see that it's got the proper link and everything. And I'll just click that link and open it up. And here is our project, and we're logged in as admin, and we can go and look at our umami site, and it's got everything that we would have wanted in there. So that's how a quick start works, and that's how it works for the other ones. And this is a fully functional, it's a fully functional demo site, but that's all that we had to do. And it used standard Composer techniques, and there it is running, and it's all configured properly. We can go to the reports, and hopefully we'll get a status report that says everything is okay. It's got warnings, but these warnings are about, oh, you're running this in a development type mode. So that's the scoop. Anything else you'd like to see there?
You should rename it the Super Quick Start Guide. I mean, it's been like 90 seconds, and you're up and running with a full install. That's pretty awesome. Someone on our management team, who's very technical, But, you know, the ease of DDEV, this past weekend, we were talking about workspaces, which Andre Matescu on our team developed, and he wanted to check it out because it sounded so cool. And, you know, able to spin up DDEV in a few minutes, install the module, you know, get it up and running, you know, it makes it so easy to just try things, right? Oh, I heard this module is cool, or I want to experiment with this, or, you know, it really empowers. And, you know, I'm not like the core use case per DDEV, you know, but it enables me to do things that I just wouldn't do otherwise because of that ease of use and that functionality. So I wonder how many, I'm sure the people who use it as developers have a similar need at times too, but I always wonder like how many people are using it in the way that I am, just quickly spin it up and try something.
You bet. Yeah, that's a great use. And you've never got anything to lose. And DDEV has a lovely feature called Snapshot, where it can make a binary representation, a snapshot of the database. So you can actually do DDEV Snapshot before you go do something weird, and then go right back to it with a DDEV Snapshot Restore. And there you are. And that's a great thing for migrations. It's a great thing for experimentation. Super easy to use. Some people don't even, you know, like there's so many features in something that's grown up all these years that nobody knows about all the features. And so sometimes people don't know about them. I should put the snapshot feature into the tip of the day. We have a tip of the day when you run DDEV start the first time in 24 hours. And I should make sure that snapshot's in there.
I love it. It's brilliant. Like it makes it, on one hand, it makes it super easy to get up and running, but on the other hand, there's no end to the complexity that you can do with it in the custom configuration. And so it really, you know, wherever you are on the spectrum and, or, you know, your path from one end to the other, it's a really fantastic tool. You know, given all that it does, you know, what does your roadmap look like? Like what are the things that you're focusing on over the next year?
Yeah, so that was yesterday's meeting, and you can go out to the DDEV discussions and you'll see the whole recording of yesterday's meeting for the annual planning meeting and all that kind of thing. But the, you know, much of DDEV is focused on, well, let me just, yeah, I don't want to go into too much detail, but the biggest things in our roadmap have to do with community, sustainability, and then some technical things. So as far as community, we want to continue training contributors and maintainers, and make sure that everybody can contribute and that they're successful contributing and that we provide all the materials for them. We try to document everything, but we have, last year we did, I don't know, 10 or 12 or 15 weekly sessions, which were live and recorded, training about contribution and maintenance things. And we're going to start that up again this year and make sure that those are recorded and make sure that we, you know, document the things that go in there. So making sure that our community stays sustainable, and our community is the first priority. Then the second thing is the sustainability. We've been working on making sure that the project is financially sustainable. We spent a lot of work on it last year, you know, reaching out to potential sponsors, reaching out to individuals, and our support level is definitely up, and we have a second paid maintainer, which is a great thing. Those are great, but we need to keep on that, and our goals are much higher than our current. So sustainability and just making sure that all those things are properly set is the second thing. And then the third thing on the technical, we have a proposal to consider breaking up some of our images into multiple images. So right now we have this is kind of off in the weeds, but we have a web image which contains both Nginx and PHP and a lot of other things. And those could be separate images and containers. And so considering how to break that up and make it more modular it's on the table for this year. It's on the table. We will experiment with it. So those are kind of the three main for us. Most of DDEV's history feels very incremental. Just keeping up, just helping people out, just solving bugs, just making sure that people can do what they do. And so I expect that this year will feel mostly incremental, but we want to remember those key things that we need to grow in.
I love the priorities, you know, in line with everything we've talked about: community, sustainability, drives, technology. That seems like a really good foundation to have in place. So without those two, there is no technology. So yep. That's really great. Randy, this was awesome. I really enjoyed chatting about this. You know, it's no wonder why DDEV has gained, you know, an awesome reputation and is so popular. I hope folks listening and watching, you know, that aren't using it are going to check it out. Thank you again for joining us. You know, we'll post links in the show notes. You can check out the various things that Randy talked about. If you like the talk, please remember to upvote, subscribe, share it out. You can check out our past Tag One team talks at tagone.com/TTT. That's 3 T's for Tag One team talks. And as always, we'd love your feedback, suggestions, and topics for future episodes. Maybe there's something you want to see Randy dive into in more detail, show off the add-ons. You can email us at ttt@tagone.com. That's tag1.com. Again, thank you, Randy, and to everybody who tuned in. We really appreciate it. See you soon.
Great to see you. Thanks.